Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I welcome all those who are watching through the live stream. I greet each one of you in the name of Jesus. So receive this call to worship from 2 Samuel 22, 2 and 3. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. You save me from violence." Declare these things to God this morning. I received a note that Richard Good has COVID. Would you keep him in your prayers, and Irene as well? Pray that he will have a mild case of it, and that Irene would not contract the disease. They're both at Fairmount. So when I pray, lift them up in your prayers and continue to pray for them this week. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together to worship you. Thank you, Father, for sending us Jesus. We are here to praise and worship you. Come fill us with your love and mercy and speak to our hearts, giving us what we need this morning. I just pray that you'll be with Richard and Irene. I pray that you will strengthen their bodies and keep Irene from getting sick. And I just pray that Richard would have a full recovery. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Still my soul will sing your praise unending. With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts, hold to one truth alone. For He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us His own, His very own. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son.
Let us pray. Father, this morning we just come to you and we worship, we do worship your name. We are all just thankful to be able to come here to do this and to just give ourselves to you, Father. This morning we just ask that you would fill each one of us with your love, with your presence, that we would be filled with the fruits of the Spirit, and that we would just be overflowing with that, that we could share that with everyone around us, so that they could experience your love and your presence as well, Father. I ask your blessing over the money that has been given this morning, that it can be used the way that it needs to be used. And I do ask that you would fill Tony with your words, your wisdom, guide, direct him through this completely, and help each one of us understand it exactly the way we need to, Father. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Ann and I were in high school together, we had a class called Practical Christian Living for a semester, and that was studying a book, the Bible, alongside of a book called The Upside Down Kingdom. And these messages that we're having now, it's the way we naturally think, and then an opposite way, the way that God teaches us to think. So we shared a book, and I think in all my high school books I ever had, that is the one that I still have, and it's the most dog-eared book that I have ever had in high school. So, but it was talking about how we naturally want to climb to the top, but the way of Christ is to empower the people that have no power. And so the next song is "Once All I Once Held Dear and Built My Life Upon is Now Considered Worthless," because of a new understanding, and one of the most powerful things we can do is understand that for ourselves and also be able to share that simple things with other people. So I just invite you to stand if you're able and join us.
All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. righteousness, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you.
Sing your praise, O Lord. The Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing. Return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Thou gave.
Father, we just thank you for the gifts you gave us and for the pattern you showed us and for the demonstration of how that works in real life when Jesus came here to earth. And so just now, we humbly just offer ourselves back to you in exchange, not in payment, but just as our offering of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
The children to come forward. There's, like the last time, there's some tape marks on the floor that you can sit in family groups. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? So this morning we're going to look at some symbols in the Bible and maybe some other Christian symbols as well, and what do they mean? There's a picture up there. So what is that? Anybody know what that is? Well, it's a cliff, but it's a rock. It means, stands for stability. We sing the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock," right? It stands for stability. What's this one? You can say it if you know what that is. A rainbow, yeah. What does that mean? And they ask that God will never flood the earth again. What is that?
Bird flying in the air.
Yeah, what kind of bird? A dove. What does a dove mean? Well, after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came in on him like a dove. So dove represents the Holy Spirit. So what's that?
A lamb.
A lamb, yes. Who knows what the lamb means? What is it? Now, the lamb is a symbol of a sacrifice to take away our sins. Jesus was the Lamb of God. So what is this one? Yes, it is Albert Einstein. But why is he up there? Yeah, what is his, what color is his hair? White. So what does white hair represent? Wisdom. So I picked Albert Einstein for that. How about this one? Stairs, yes, but what do stairs symbolize?
Going up stairs.
Yeah, you go up the stairs, but going up the stairs is a symbol of a way to heaven. What about this one?
A fish.
Yeah, a fish. Where do you see this one a lot? On the back of people's cars, right?
In the ocean.
In the ocean, yes. Well, that's a different kind of fish. This is just a picture of a fish. This fish, many years ago, was used to identify Christians as a secret symbol. They used it so people would know they were Christian and other people wouldn't. We refer to it as the Jesus fish. What is that?
Bread.
What does bread symbolize? It symbolizes the body of Jesus. At communion time, we have bread. So what is that one?
Grapes.
What does that symbolize? Yes, we have grape juice here. What does it symbolize? The blood of Jesus. Very good. Here's another one. What is that? Yes, the manger scene where baby Jesus was born. And this is a symbol of Jesus. He came to the earth for us. And what is this one? The cross, where Jesus died for our sins. So these symbols are a good thing to help us to remember who God is and that God is faithful and he does what he says he will do. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. See, we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our strength. But we use these different symbols to help us to remember what God has done for us each day. But we have to be careful not to worship the symbol, but we're supposed to worship God only. So these symbols help us to remember what God has done. You guys have been good listeners. You may have a snack. Teresa has it over here. And you may go back to your seats. Well, I'm glad to see each one of you here today. Thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. But before we get into today's message, I would like to invite you to join me in a couple minutes of prayer, and that includes all those watching on the live stream as well. There's a lot of turmoil going on around us. Well, you have the virus going around. You have political and racial unrest. So I want to give you a few minutes to pray for our nation, lift up our leaders, anyone who is sick, remember them in your prayers, and then I will close. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you lifting up our nation. Give wisdom and guidance to our government. Speak to their hearts, bringing their will to match yours. I pray for peace that comes from you to fill the hearts and minds of our nation. With all the political turmoil going on, just bring change and bring peace. Bring peace to all the racial tensions in our nation. These are heart issues that only you can change. Lord, I pray that you would calm any nerves or worries that people are feeling or fears from the virus that is going around. Bring healing to the sick and comfort to the hurting. Draw people to you, so that they will follow your will and not their own. Bring glory and honor to your name through all of these situations that are happening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And thank you for your willingness. Did it feel like a long time? It was like 2 minutes. Even though it feels like a long time, it's not. So we will be continuing our series on the challenging radical, do we really have to follow teachings of Jesus? Our message is titled, Become a Servant. Jesus and his disciples were going through Galilee, and they came to Capernaum. Capernaum is on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is not the body of water at the very top, but the one in the middle that is, you see the very small one at the top, and then you have the one down is the Sea of Galilee, and then you have the Dead Sea all the way at the bottom where Jerusalem is. And they were traveling through Galilee, and they were traveling towards Jerusalem for the Passover and towards Jesus' crucifixion. We're going to be picking up their journey in Mark 9, 33 to 37, and I'm going to read all three accounts, the one from Luke and the one from Matthew. And then we'll piece them together from there. Mark 9, 33 to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all." He took a child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but him who sent me." Luke 9, 46 to 48. An argument started among them about who was the greatest of them. But Jesus, knowing their inner thoughts, took a little child and had him stand next to him. He told them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. For whoever is least among you, this one is great." And then Matthew 18, 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child and had him stand among them. "Truly I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child in my name welcomes me." These three sections of verses, when pieced together, give us a really good view. They fit together better. Some pieces seem out of order, and because of different writing styles and viewpoints, they might even seem to contradict each other, where the one says they were silent and the other said they came and asked Jesus questions. We're going to go to Luke's account first, and I'm going to switch back and forth. I'm not going to go through each one flipping slides. So we see the disciples, they were walking down the road having an argument. I can just picture that argument with them poking at each other and elbows and trying not to be too loud and make too much noise that Jesus would hear them. They were arguing about who would be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom, but they're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. Jesus being an earthly king and how they would fit into his kingdom. Their journey is coming to an end for that day when they arrive in Capernaum. When Jesus entered a house, he asked his disciples what they were arguing about, and they were busted. You probably could have heard a pin drop. They were embarrassed that Jesus had asked them that question. They were having a very selfish argument of, "I am better than you." No, you were. They were just arguing back and forth. And Jesus goes and sits down, and he calls his students to him. And when a rabbi does that, he's going to start teaching them. The disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts and in their minds, he called a child to stand next to him. And this is where we find out how to be a servant. Jesus takes a child that has no social standing, no income, lacking wisdom, no way to get food or clothing or shelter, except for fully depending on their parents. They're meek and they're humble. Jesus takes that child in his arms and proclaims to his disciples, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. What a radical upside-down statement. To say you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like a child? It doesn't make any sense. See, people everywhere are trying to get ahead. Get a better job, get more money, more property, higher political office, more recognition, being told that you are better than anyone else. And this was going on in Jesus' day, and it's not any better today. Jesus also says, whoever wants to be first must be last and be a servant of all. Jesus goes on to say that if you welcome one child such as this, you welcome him. And if you welcome him, you welcome the one who sent him, his Father. So what do these verses mean and how can we carry them out? Like Jesus said, we need to become like the child that he had standing next to him. Act goofy and play games and have fun. Well, Teresa would say I'm goofy enough, and that's probably not what it means. We need to become fully dependent on God. Depend on God for everything, every little thing. And we need to depend on him when things are good, not just when we're going through a test or a trial, all the time. We get our social standing from God. We're a son or a daughter of his. We get our financial support from him, from God. He gave us the ability to work and earn. But if we're physically not able to, he takes care of us through many other means and however he sees fit. We need to see that we are weak, letting the Father do the heavy work, the work that we're unable to do. We can try. We'll mess it up and it'll be a lot harder and cause us a lot more grief if we try it than if we let God do the heavy lifting. In every detail, we need to depend on God. See, there's a second part to this that I myself am working on, the submitting to God part, seeing it in a little bit different way, and I'm going to share that little bit different way now. We say that Jesus is Lord. He is ruler, king, father, friend, but this part kind of gets missed, or we don't focus on it. Well, at least I myself don't focus on it much, and I'm starting to focus on it a lot more. When you look at the Greek meaning of the word Lord, you get a couple different words, master, sir, or magistrate. That word master, seeing Jesus as my master, do you think about that much? We use the term Lord, but what does that really mean? Humbling myself to a position of a slave of Jesus. Do you think of it that way? I'm starting to think of it myself more that way, of being a slave to Jesus. Doing whatever the Heavenly Father wants me to do each day. Having that attitude of being his servant or slave by choice daily. And when we do that, we are becoming like a child. And this is doing what it says in Mark 9, verse 35. If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. And Jesus gives us many, many examples of him humbling himself. Jesus came to earth as a baby, following the Father's will. He stepped down from the right hand of God and came into this sin-filled world that we live in. For us, he humbled himself to the Father's will. In John 13, 1-5, we have another example of Jesus' humility. For the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, excuse me, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, tied it around himself. Next he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel he had around him. Just look at that image for a little bit. The Messiah kneeling down and washing the feet of his disciples. The dirt, the sweat, the animal waste. This was the Son of God, and he was washing people's feet. Later, Jesus set the ultimate example of humility when he went to the cross and died for each and every one of our sins. With these examples that Jesus set for us in mind, I'm going to look at Philippians 2, 3 to 11. Do nothing without selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man. He humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at that name, Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This set of verses shows each one of us how to be more childlike. Jesus humbled himself doing the Father's will. He gave up everything. But in the end, he received a heavenly reward greater than he gave up. See, when we become more childlike, there is a security, knowing that God is taking care of you and your needs. There is a freedom, knowing that we're doing God's will. There is a freedom from worry about stuff. See, God is in control, and he's going to handle every situation. We have a security, knowing that we're held, just like that child that Jesus held in his arms in our main set of verses. And this is totally opposite of how the world functions. I'm going to depend on myself. I'm going to just keep working harder and longer to get ahead. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what is mine. Power drives people to political office. Power and prestige push people to get more stuff. This happens not just in the world, it happens in Christian circles as well. It happens in the church. See, in the Old Testament, if you had wealth, you were blessed by God, and you must have been righteous because you had more stuff, because God was blessing you. We see in the book of Job that when the three friends came and start accusing Job of sinning, because Job lost almost everything, And it wasn't because of sin. It was a test from God. So we need to be very, very careful what we do and why we do it. And the last point I'm going to make today is we need to be reaching out to people. Mark 9:37 tells us that when we welcome someone, we welcome Jesus. And when we do this, we welcome the Father. Let's translate that into something we can apply every day. We as Christians, when we welcome in people who are hurting and weak, we welcome Jesus. When we encourage a young Christian, we welcome Jesus. When we welcome excuse me. When we help someone in many different ways, we welcome Jesus. Getting involved in people's lives with a heart that is humble, doing it for God the Father and not for recognition, we welcome Jesus. So who needs help? People with no social standing, people lacking food, shelter, wisdom, people who are weak and abandoned. There's a lot of people around us that can and need for us to be serving them. So, who can you serve today? Think about it. Who can you serve today? So in closing, we need to follow Jesus' example of being a servant. Be humble. Do the Father's will every day. Putting others ahead of our own desires. To follow Jesus' example and give up all that we want to follow God's will. Jesus asked if this cup can be taken from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, but he did because it was the Father's will. It may cause you pain to help people, cost you time and money to help people, yet your reward in heaven outweighs all the treasures and pleasure that this earth could ever provide. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, help us to be more childlike, bending our knees and our will to you. Help us to give our all for you each day. Being a slave to you, the greatest loving master, is a desire of my heart, and I pray that it'll be a desire of all those present and watching. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, the sacrifice you made for us, undeserving sinners. Thank you, Father, for your love and mercy you show to us. Help us to show that same love and mercy to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team forward.
Brother, let me be your servant. I enjoy serving people, but sometimes it's harder for me when I have a need to have someone serve me. The servant song.
Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are brothers on the road. We are
sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Brother, let me be your servant, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. Learn to be a servant of all. To be a servant of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all.
We have a behind-the-scenes ministry at our church called Secret Sisters. Years ago, as greeter, I had the privilege to help in this ministry. Secret Sisters would ask me to write notes inside of cards or hand me a gift at the door asking me to deliver it to the appropriate mailbox. Several years ago, Naomi Good asked if I would like to be a recipient of a Secret Sister. I said yes, having no idea how this ministry would bless my life. During low periods in my life, I have been amazed at how many times I arrive at church to find something from my secret sister, which lifts my spirits. That is why I call it a ministry. Some of you ladies have been a secret sister for many years and have been wondering, is it worth being creative every month? I would encourage you to keep on. I am a testament of how God is using you. Some ladies do not enjoy being in the spotlight, but working quietly behind the scenes. This is a great ministry that allows you to do just that. If you have never been a secret sister and would like to know what's involved, talk to Naomi Good. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word."
I just want to share a little bit about Sunday school, just to communicate to each one of you. January 31st is going to be the fifth Sunday, which will be lesson number 70. And that is the review lesson. So the young adults, junior youth, and the youth, you all can meet up here in the sanctuary, and we will have the review class all up here. And I want to leave you with this. This week, I got to meet with an older man that spoke some wisdom into me, and as long as I tell this story, once I get to the end, you'll understand. But this man spoke some wisdom into me. Friday night, Luke Nolte was going through some things and asked for some prayer, and so Brian and I went over to pray with Luke and talk to him. As we were there, this Brian said, this other guy might show up. I said, okay, great. And well, we were just about ready to pray for Luke, and John showed up. And so we were talking for a while, and then we prayed over Luke and got to hear Luke's repentance of his heart. And at the end of the prayer, I had called Brian earlier that day to bring the song Victory in Jesus along. And at the end of the prayer, I said, we got to sing this song. And I've never heard four men sing a song they didn't really understand and even know at the top of their lungs and sing it the whole way through. And at the end of the song, do you know what happened? John S. for prayer. And we prayed over John, and John is in that moment right now. If you read John chapter 15, where Jesus was talking about the tree and pruning it, John is at that moment where he was asking for wisdom from God, and it come out that we asked John, are you ready to allow Christ to prune you? And he said yes, and that's what we prayed for the pruning of God in John's life, that God would reveal wisdom to him. So, number one, I thank the guy for earlier in the week for giving me wisdom about a song, and I thank God that we can still go out and pray for each other. And I end that in saying tonight is the Holy Spirit Fellowship night down in the basement. I would encourage any of you to come out for prayer, for singing. It's just a great time to hang out and have fun. So it starts at 6:30 tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie, for sharing. I encourage you to look at the announcements in your bulletin. There's a note in there about Secret Sisters as well as the Holy Spirit Fellowship evening. I do want to call your attention to your bulletin that our name has changed as far as our district. We're Valley Mountain, PA East. As we restructured our district and we were Bowmansville Redding and Weaverland was Weaverland Northeast, and there was some other congregations thrown in there, they kind of restructured everything, and we have a new name. So if you see that name, that's referring to our new district, and you should have a newsletter in your mailbox. Also, if you ordered soup, it's ready today to be picked up, so don't forget your soup. And thank you, Rick, for sharing how God is moving and working in people's lives. I appreciate hearing that. Will you stand for a parting benediction? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.